Merry Christmas. It is really good to see you. We are so glad that you are here. My name's Dave. If we've never met before, I'm the lead pastor here at Westside. And we are, as I said, thrilled that you are here on Christmas Eve. Is there anybody out there who is excited that Christmas is finally here? All right. Yes. Is there anybody who is excited like I am for presents? Oh, you're doing like the, I don't know, it's not about presents. I love presents. I get into it. I'm excited. And there's a couple of different kinds of presents. I'm still into presents. But when I was a kid, and on Christmas morning, when I got out of my bedroom and went down into the living room where the Christmas tree was and all the presents were, my eye was always drawn to a certain kind of present. Can you guess which kind it was? Do you think it was this kind? Yes, thank you. This one, this is the one, because this looks like it has socks in it, and I don't want socks. It's too small, it's too light, there can be nothing good in there, right? When you're a kid, that's just too small. But this one is the one I want my name on. I am just hoping, I am praying on Christmas morning that when I see the biggest present in the room, it is for me, it is mine. I have no idea what is in there, but whatever it is so big, it has got to be great. This is the present as a kid that we all want. But kids, guys, I want to let you in on something that you learn a little bit later in life that you need to know. And tomorrow this might help some of you out. See, you think that this is the best present because it's the biggest present. But what you find out later in life is that bigger isn't always better. That big sometimes is great. There can be really cool things in here. But sometimes the best presents come in something really, really small. I learned that the year that Santa left me a little envelope and there was cash in it. That is a good present. I love presents, but we do learn as we get older and older that bigger is not always better. As exciting as that is and looks, bigger is not always better. Sometimes it is. And as adults, we still have things that we want to be bigger, things that we enjoy them being bigger. We have bigger families, bigger bank accounts, bigger houses, bigger vacations, bigger job titles, all kinds of things that bigger, we look forward to them being better if they're bigger, bigger. But what we learn as we go through life is that sometimes there are biggers that aren't so good. And bigger is not always better. Because sometimes we get overwhelmed with bigger price tags, with bigger debt, with bigger obstacles, bigger conflicts, bigger health problems, bigger guilt, bigger consequences, bigger messes. In fact, it's possible that you're here tonight after a couple of weeks of bigger hurry and bigger chaos and bigger to-do lists and bigger stress and bigger anxiety, maybe even bigger depression. You see, sometimes bigger is not always better. And sometimes we just come face to face with the fact that there are bigger things in our lives that are really overwhelmed. Things that we don't know how we're going to get through them. Challenges that we don't know how we're going to get past them and over them. And we don't even know how we're going to move forward. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with all the biggers in life. And this Christmas tonight, and as you reflect on what we do here tonight and the Christmas season going forward, I hope it'll be a time for you where you discover something that is bigger than all the biggers in your world. In fact, something that is bigger than all the biggers in our world, whatever those biggers are. And today, as I said, you might come in and there might be things that just seem so big in your life that are so challenging that you don't know how you're going to overcome them. You don't know how you're going to get through them. There might also be in you today, you might come with a big heart and with a lot of amazing things happening in your life. And you see just this fullness or bigness of joy. And tonight, I hope that we will celebrate that even those great joys, there is one even greater. And in your big sorrow, or your big hurt, or your big pain, your big loss, I hope tonight that you'll find that there's something even bigger as we celebrate Christmas in the message of a God who is so big that he would decide to become so small to show us how big he really is. A God so big that he could create this world, who would become so small, even baby small, so that he could show us how big His love is for all of us. And I hope you'll understand tonight that that love that God has for all of us that we celebrate at Christmas time sets a trajectory for our life, sets a trajectory for your life. And so tonight, I want to talk a little bit about Mary. Mary is the mother of Jesus. She is famous, perpetually famous. People have been talking about her for thousands and thousands of years. And her story is one that, in parts, is unbelievable. I mean, we start tonight by thinking about the fact that an angel showed up to Mary and told her that she was going to have a child and that it was going to be God's child. And tonight I want to look at a song that she sang, or she wrote a kind of a poem that came out of her heart as she reflected on the fact that she was now pregnant, that an angel had announced that this was God's baby, and just hear from her heart what that meant to her. And there's a powerful message in it for us tonight. It comes from Luke chapter 1. Luke is one of the Gospels. It's one of the books that tells us about the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in this is the story before Mary has given birth, but after it has been announced that she will give birth to Jesus, be the mother of Jesus. And she writes this poem or this song, and it goes like this. It says, Mary said or responded, "Oh, how my soul magnifies the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Now, if you read that, you hear that, and we're at church tonight, and it's Christmas Eve, that's something that you would expect at church. Doesn't it sound kind of churchy, kind of religious-y? You know, this, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's not even really language that most of us would use now, and we might expect to hear it at church. You might have expected to hear something like that when you came tonight. But we wouldn't expect it if we really thought about Mary's circumstances at the time. In fact, the song that we're about to read, that this is the first couple of lines of, it's almost a huge contrast. It's a huge song of hope for people who are feeling small and insignificant. It talks about people who are down and out and yet who are lifted up. And this is important because we might expect something like this at church, but if you really think about where Mary was at this point in her life, when this happens, when she sings this song, it's actually pretty astounding. Think about Mary for a second. She's a poor, unwed, pregnant teenager. Her story, or what she's going to have to convince people of or tell people, is that it's God's baby. Now, if you're here tonight and you go, I have a bit of a hard time believing that. That seems unreasonable, that this woman would be pregnant and it would be God's baby. I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know if that's intellectual. I don't know if that makes any sense. Just for a second, think about everybody in Mary's world. Think about her parents. Think about her family, her friends, the people in her social circle, the people who lived in her village. If you think it's hard to believe her story, just think about what it would be like for her to try and convince everybody around her that this was God's baby. Her reputation is tanked. She is a poor, unwed, pregnant teenager. This is going to be the stamp of her life. Nothing after this will be the same. This is not something she asked for, not something she wished for or hoped for. This was something that she did not sign up for, that nobody's going to believe her. Her reputation is tanked. Nobody is going to believe this. Very few people are going to believe that this is true. In fact, many people in her culture and religious system would believe that because she put herself in this position, what they would have believed is that she should have been stoned to death. Mary is not in this kind of fairy tale story where everything's nice and easy. She is faced with extremely difficult circumstances, which is why it's almost hard to believe this is the first line of her song, "How my soul praises or magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Incredible that she can have that rejoicing spirit when her circumstances, what she's looking at for her future, is extremely difficult, extremely challenging, would have seemed insurmountable, huge, her whole life. Some people would have just thought, my life is over now. How could this have happened to me? But that's where Mary starts. It's an incredible song. And you almost got to ask yourself, how could she get there? In the midst of the big and bigger circumstances that she is facing, How could she get to a place where she says something so hopeful like that, where she's rejoicing? And that's where I want to talk a little bit about that, because I think in Mary's song, she actually gives us a lot to think about how we might get there. So we'll continue reading. This is verse 49. 48 says, this is Mary speaking of God. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. That word lowly, it literally means as low to the ground as you could possibly get. This is like, you know, I am lying face down on the ground. You cannot get more humble, more low, more insignificant. Mary says, he took notice of me, the lowest of the low, a servant girl, just a teenage girl from nowhere, of no significance. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one, that's God, who is powerful, is holy. And he has done great things for me. I love this. I mean, there might be a bunch of things about the Christmas story that you find hard to believe. There might be a lot about Mary's story that you find hard to believe if you really think about it. But think about this. Mary said, Mary, who nobody knew Mary. She's not in any book. She's not from a famous family. She's not of notoriety. But she says, right at the beginning, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. So if you say, I don't know if I can believe all this about Mary, but think about this. Here's 2,000 years later. Guess who we're talking about? Famous, famous Mary, the mother of Jesus. Millions upon millions of people every single year will read her story and call her blessed generations after generations after generations. And it might be a bit of a hard story to believe, but she was right when she says that generations, from now on, generations will call me blessed. And she says it's because the mighty one, God, who is so powerful, he's done great things for me. And we would say, well, that's fantastic. But we all sit here and we read that and say, my story's not Mary's story. That's not going to happen to me. There's not going to be an angel that shows up tonight. I'm not going to be pregnant with God's child. I'm not going to be the mother or the father of Jesus. That's just not going to happen. Not applicable. But Mary does something so amazing. She has this me to we moment in her song, in her story. She goes from me. This is my story. God's doing great things for me. The lowly servant girl, the insignificant one, the small one. He's done great things for me. And then she moves it to a we. In verse 50, she says, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. Did you get that? God shows mercy from generation to generation, not just for me, but for everybody who fears him, or we might say who respects him. And then she has this contrast that she draws. She says, his mighty arm has done tremendous things. He scattered the proud and haughty ones, people who thought they had it all together and they don't need God and they don't need anybody else and that they can run their life. He scattered them. He's brought them down. But verse 52, he's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble people. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. This is such an incredible song, and it's so encouraging for anybody who thinks that there are moments where you're insignificant or you're small or you're inept or you don't know how you can move forward or you're dependent or you need help. In fact, tonight, if you come and you've got your entire life together, and you're in control of everything, and you can do it all yourself, this probably is not going to speak to you. But if you're at all like me, and every once in a while, or maybe a little more than every once in a while, you get overwhelmed, you get worried, you struggle with circumstances of your life, you struggle with the circumstances of the world, you have conflict in your life, and you're not always sure what the next step is, or how you can handle it, or whether you can handle it. If that's you, then this is a powerful song, because what it says is that is exactly the kind of person that God has come for. In fact, this is such a powerful song that there have been governments who have banned reading it out loud. In Guatemala in the 1980s, the government banned people from reading this song out loud because they read it and believed that if people really believe that this is how God works, that God comes for humble people and hurting people and people who are poor and pushed down and oppressed, people who don't have it all together. They believed that that was so subversive and it was so dangerous to the hierarchy of the world that some people are in charge and have lots of power and they're wealthy and they get to push everybody else down. They believe that if people started believing that this was true, then they would revolt. They would overthrow the government. They would be so encouraged and have so much power because of what this actually says. And so if you feel like sometimes you're overwhelmed and you're not enough and you need help, that you're the exact kind of person that God has sent his son for, that he sent his son to completely topple the hierarchies of this world where the elite few have everything and push everyone else down, where people who are different are pushed aside, unloved, uncared for. It's exactly the kind of person that Jesus has come for. Such a powerful, powerful moment where Mary draws the me to the we. This is my story, she's saying, that God has involved me in a much bigger story. But then she's saying, this is your story too. It's going to look different and your circumstances are different. But God is inviting you in your humility and where you think you might be insignificant and where you feel like you might not be enough, to be part of something that's so much bigger than just you, to be part of his story. And here's how it works. Here's how it happens. This is the focal point of Mary's song. We just read it. She says, he shows mercy from generation to generation. Mercy means that God does great things for people who are made to feel small or insignificant. You just think about this for a second and what she's saying about our perception of God, because some of us, even who have come here tonight, we have this view of God that he is powerful, that he is transcendent, he's way out there somewhere. For some of us, we think that he's mean and exacting, demanding. For some of us, we would imagine that it would take us trying as hard as we possibly could to be as good as we possibly could in order for God to finally be happy with us. And for some of us in the back of our mind, we just never think that's going to happen. And Mary said, here's the secret to all of this, is that God has shown mercy. God has done great things for people who are made to feel small or insignificant. Think about it. God, who is bigger than all things, deciding to become small. Baby small, to step into this world. And I thought about that this week a little bit. If you just think about it for a second, that God would make himself so vulnerable that he would be a baby who would have to be fed and changed, a baby who would cry and had to be rocked to sleep, a baby who would be totally dependent on his mother, on Mary. Could you imagine God sending his son and handing him to a teenage girl, saying, you'll be the mother of Jesus, God stepping into this world to save this world from their sin. You have been given so much significance, such a powerful moment, such a powerful thing. And more than that, to show the world what God is like, that he's powerful, that he's transcendent, but that he is merciful. So merciful that Jesus would come and not only enter into this world, the message of Christmas, not only become vulnerable, not only walk amongst us to show us that he loves us and cares for us and accepts us, but more than that, he wouldn't stay a small baby. He would grow up. He would become a revolutionary. And he would teach people who are on the outside that they're welcomed in. And more than that, he would go to a cross and he would die for the world that he loves, to show forgiveness and grace, mercy, to show people that that is the character of God. That's what God is like. Merciful, forgiving, gracious, life-giving. And then, not only as a revolutionary teacher, not only as a martyr as he was crucified, but then, after being buried, after his death, he would rise from the grave to show us that he was bigger than the greatest bigger, the biggest, even death. This is what I think when I read that. And when you read the life of Jesus, and when you realize that Jesus is bigger, I think that the bigger your God, the brighter your future. I think that if God just, in your mind, stays as a small little baby, worthwhile to come to church once a year and to sing the songs and that, it doesn't change a whole lot. But when you understand and acknowledge and believe that God is bigger than the biggest hurdles, obstacles, circumstances, not only in your world, but in the world, then all of a sudden, that God gives us a bright future. I want to go back to the very beginning of this song and just hit on something that's so important of how Mary worked through this. Because there's a powerful line that we read right at the beginning. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It's a word that literally means my soul makes big. And it doesn't mean that we can make God big or small. God is who he is. But what it means is she's saying, I have acknowledged and understood just a little bit more about how big God is. And I'm magnifying. He's now going to be the biggest thing in my life. I'm going to see that he's bigger than everything else. And that is then going to give everything else perspective. So let me ask you this question tonight. What's magnified in your life? What is your bigger? What's weighing you down? What is your circumstance? What is your problem? What is your conflict that you think is so big that you think you can't overcome? What's so big in your life that you worry about it, that you have anxiety about it, that you have no idea what the next step is, let alone how you're going to get through it? Is it your debt? Is it your loneliness? Unemployment? Is it an addiction? Is it issues that are happening in your family? Character things, your anger, your jealousy. You just don't think you're going to be able to get over it. Is it problems that you're having in your marriage that just seem so big and so insurmountable? Is it loss that you've experienced this year? And you're just wondering how to get through and how to move on. I don't want to diminish any of those things. Those are all big things. But Jesus is bigger. And what Mary found is she looked forward to very difficult future, very difficult circumstances, is that she was able to magnify, make big God, realize how big he is. In fact, realize that he is bigger than all of the biggers in our life. Mary wrote this song, but she copied it. It's kind of a forgery, actually. If you read through the Bible, way hundreds of years later, there was this woman named Hannah. And Hannah was a little bit different than Mary. Mary, she wasn't looking to have a child when all of a sudden it was announced that she was going to have one. Hannah wanted a child, prayed for a child, longed for a child. And when she was old and too old, God decided to give her a child. And she wrote a song. And it's the song that Mary is basically copied. It's very similar. It goes through all the same themes and a lot of the same words is picked up. And Mary, she knows this is something she's pointing us to. But there's this powerful thing that Hannah did. And you don't have to know much about Hannah tonight. That's not a big deal. Except that she wrote this similar song and realized that God had given her a gift. And in deciding to do with it, she said this, "I prayed for this child and I have lent him to the Lord," or "I have given him to the Lord." Hannah realized this, that the best thing that we can do with the things in our life is to give them back to God, because the good things that God gives us, God makes even better when we give them back to him. And the tough things that we go through, we realize God is bigger when we give them to him. And so tonight I want to give you an opportunity to do that very same thing. Because the relationship with a God who is merciful, a God who would step into our world and become like us, a God who would die for us, God who would defeat death, he outlines what he wants our relationship to look like with him, how he wants to relate to us. And primarily it's through trust. He wants us to trust him. And Christmas is about a big God becoming small so he can show us how big he is and saying, "Trust me. You've got great joys in your life. Trust me with them and I'll make them even better. You've got great sorrow in your life. Huge challenges, bigger challenges. God wants to let you know this Christmas that he is even bigger and that you can trust him even in the midst of very difficult circumstances, even in the midst of sorrow, hurt, and pain. So what will you give to God this Christmas? Is there something you need to trust him with? Say, God, this is yours. I can't handle it on my own. God, this is a gift from you, and I give back to you. Will you give him your expectations for your family, your career, your time, your marriage, your money? Did you give him yourself? Did you give him everything? Is God that big for you? Because listen, I believe this is true for Mary. I believe it's true for you. The bigger your God, the more magnified he becomes in your life, the brighter your future, because God takes broken people and humble people and people who have difficult circumstances, and he lifts them up and he walks with them and he shows them that whatever you're walking through in this life, he is bigger. And even the biggest bigger that we face, death, he is bigger. And that's what I hope tonight you'll celebrate with us. And that you'll look around in your life and realize that there have been times in your life where your circumstances, your obstacles, your struggles seemed so big and you had no idea how you were going to get through. And maybe you've had times like that and realized that God was bigger. And if that's true tonight, I hope this Christmas, that's what you'll celebrate and pour out back to him and say what Mary said, that my soul magnifies the Lord. I just realize how big you are. And tonight, if you come in with big struggles, I hope that we can encourage you by letting you know that God is even bigger. And that big God is a merciful God who's calling you to himself. And so we have a tradition on Christmas Eve here at Westside that we do every year. We like to end our service by lighting some candles. And actually, you all have candles on the rack of the seat in front of you. You can grab them right now if you want to. And what we do is we light a candle, and then we pass the flame from person to person until we light up this whole room with the light of these candles. And I love this light that comes from just a small spark of fire. I love fire because it starts so small. It starts with just a little spark. But if given the right conditions and the right opportunity, this fire will spread everywhere and it will impact everything and everyone that it comes into contact with. And that's a lot like Jesus. And that's a lot like what faith is like. It often starts with just a small spark. But when we allow it to flourish in our lives, when we take steps to stoke that fire, when we pass it around, it changes everything in our lives. So tonight, in a second, we're going to pass this fire and light up this world. And as you look at your candle and as you look around the room and see the light that is spreading, I hope it'll remind you of Jesus, who is the light of the world. And I hope it'll remind you of faith and challenge you that perhaps this Christmas it's time for you to take just one small step of faith. For some of you, it might be realizing that God is big enough to warrant your attention more than just on Christmas. We'd love to see you come back in January, maybe just to ask questions and hear more about what it would look like for your faith to grow. For some of us, we need to have a moment to take the bigger in our life and to realize that God is even bigger. And in his mercy, he became small to show us how big he really is. And that you'd give him those things in your life, that you'd trust him with them. And still for others, we simply celebrate as we look in our lives and we know, because we've seen it in action, that God is bigger than all the biggers in our world and in our life. And as we sing one more song and reflect on that, I want to thank you once again for coming tonight, sharing this part of Christmas with us. I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.